Morning, everybody. So, as Matt said, A, arise from A from the arise, ambitious for the kingdom we're going to be looking at this morning. And there is so much to say about this topic that I've actually found it really hard to prepare because I need to be brief and that I could just go on and on and on about this. So hopefully, if you want to hear more on Wednesday, our word on Wednesday, we'll have a little bit more time to go into this topic, but I'm going to try and keep this brief this morning. So I want to look at three questions. First of all, what is the kingdom? Secondly, what does it look like? And thirdly, what does it mean to be ambitious for the kingdom? So firstly, what is the kingdom? The phrase kingdom appears 162 times in the New Testament, and most of these refer to the interchangeable terms of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, which is the kingdom we're talking about. The kingdom of heaven is God's realm. It's where he rules and reigns. At the moment, our realm is earth, but God never intended for earth and heaven to be separate. Look back at the Garden of Eden, God and mankind dwelling together in the garden. And mankind was given the mandate right at the beginning to fill the whole earth and be custodians of it, to spread God's kingdom. And look forward to Revelation, where a new city comes down from heaven for God to dwell with his people again. So, whether you prefer a rural or an urban picture, the Bible has both God's reign filling the earth. And right in the middle of the Bible narrative, we have Jesus coming to bring about this kingdom. Without his death and resurrection, the kingdom cannot come. Through his death and resurrection, he has defeated evil, he has brought about freedom, healing, and restoration, and he's opened the door for God to return as king of all things. He's removed the barrier between heaven and earth, and he's given us the mandate to continue to fill the earth, to make disciples of all nations, as he says in Matthew. So, the second question, what does it look like? So, the kingdom is where there is God's rule and reign, but what does this actually look like? Revelation gives us a picture of the kingdom, a place where there is no death, no evil, no crying or pain, where God is present with his people again, where there is justice, beauty, and goodness. And this kingdom is more than about individual lives being reunited with God, which is definitely what we want to see, but it's more than that as well. It's about all of creation, nature, governments, businesses, cities, culture being united with God. It certainly didn't look like what the Jewish leaders were expecting. They expected a military leader to overthrow the Romans. They didn't expect a baby born in a backwater village to an unmarried girl. They didn't expect a criminal death at the hands of the Romans. But then Jesus' kingdom is not like any earthly kingdom. It turns things upside down. The least are the greatest. Leaders should be servants. Enemies should be loved. What goes on in your heart is far more important than what you display outside. But don't think Jesus' kingdom's not powerful. Jesus' kingdom can overthrow any opposition. Jesus showed this as he cast out demons, brought the dead back to life, restored the sight of the blind, and finally defeated death and evil for all time on the cross. But we cannot avoid the issue that although Jesus has died and resurrected and defeated all things that are not of his kingdom, we still live in a world where the kingdom of heaven is not fully revealed. Tom Wright writes brilliantly about this in his book on the Lord's Prayer. It's a really little book. I'd highly recommend it if you want to borrow that. He says, "If the kingdom is here, why is there still injustice? Why is there still hunger? Why is there still guilt? Why is there still evil?" He puts it like this. What Jesus did, he did uniquely, once and for all. We don't have to go on repeating it again and again, And we couldn't, even if we wanted to. Rather, think of it like this. Jesus is the medical genius who discovered penicillin. We are the doctors, ourselves being cured by the medicine, now applying it to those who need it. Jesus is the musical genius who wrote the greatest oratorio of all time. We are the musicians captivated by his composition ourselves, who now perform it before a world full of muzak and cacophony. The kingdom did indeed come with Jesus, but it will come fully when the world is healed, when the whole creation finally joins in the song. Which leads us nicely on to the last question. What does it mean to be ambitious for the kingdom? I believe it means two things, praying it and living it. Praying and living for the kingdom like Jesus did. And I believe it starts with prayer. Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, for heaven and earth to be brought together again." And Jesus modeled this to us in a number of ways. And I know Matt would be very proud of me that I've managed to think of five things all beginning with "in" this morning. So the first one, intentional. Jesus was dedicated time to seek out the Father alone. You cannot grow in a relationship with someone if you're not intentional about spending time with them. Secondly, intimate. Jesus was intimate with the Father. The closer you get to God, the closer you will be to his heart, his passions. How can we be ambitious for the kingdom if we don't know the King? And don't assume your passions are his. The Pharisees assumed that. But they were more passionate about looking like they were living right than loving each person before them. Regularly pray, "Your will be done." Our passions should be driven by God's, and we find those by spending time with him. Thirdly, in touch. Jesus stayed connected to his Father through prayer. This connection meant he saw the world through God's eyes, not man's. And Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. Okay, my fourth in is a bit sketchy. On earth as in heaven. He gave us a model prayer to pray for the kingdom. In it we pray, "Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others. Lead us not into temptation." If we want to see God's kingdom expanded, then these are the foundations of it. Give us today our daily bread, a reliance on God. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others. Forgiveness. And lead us not into temptation. Pushing back against the enemy. And the last in, incessant. Jesus encourages us to be persistent in prayer, but not because God needs to be nagged. God is not a slot machine, but God is not a slot machine where you put up a prayer and you get out an answer. He wants a relationship, and persistent prayer shows our heart's desires to him. It also gives God time to mold us, because sometimes our prayers need to better reflect his heart's desires than ours. So what does the prayer for the kingdom look like in your life? We're in an in-between time where our King has defeated evil, death and suffering, but battles need to continue to be fought, where we need to advance on the enemy's territory. Prayer doesn't always come easily, and often it takes discipline and perseverance. For some, it means getting up to the Green Splat or Victoria Gardens to pray over the city or online at prayer breakfast. I believe that this persistent prayer is doing things in the heavenly realms that we can't see, but which is weakening the enemy's stronghold and preparing a way for our actions. We've already heard testimony from people who've seen us pray up at the Green of God touching their lives in very real and practical ways. Another example is the Trelander estate. Many churches over the years have prayed for that estate, and I believe that when we stepped out and started the cafe a number of years ago, the prayers had prepared the ground for us. When we were joined on the estate by some visiting missioners for a weekend, They commented how open people were to hearing the good news compared to other areas they'd visited. And Chris, who goes out on the streets of Truro, often shares how people on the streets seem ready to talk to him about Jesus. I know people who pray for their children daily. One person I know prays for her adult son who lives away to discover Jesus and prays that Christians will cross his path. And as she's prayed for him, she's felt led to be a Christian witness to a young person who lives near to her, almost in a response to her own prayer. Her ambition for the kingdom is being worked out both in her prayers and her actions. I know people who pray for their workplaces with their Christian colleagues. I'm one of those. I pray with colleagues up at Cornwall Council. We share a desire to see God's kingdom advance through the work of the council. We thank God for all the good it already achieves, and we pray for more. We pray for our colleagues who are struggling, wisdom for our leaders, for specific issues like a reduction in traffic accidents, budget setting, homes for the homeless. All of these things are ways of praying for God's kingdom to come. I know people who pray for their neighbours diligently and serve wherever they can. One lady saw a marriage restored in the lives of her neighbours. I know older, housebound folks who are mighty prayer warriors, lifting up situations they cannot step into themselves except by prayer. Many of you will remember Beatrice. She was a prayer warrior from our home, from her home, lifting up the marginalised. And there are others in our congregation that Matt and I will turn to when we need prayer to bring breakthrough. I know people who passionately lift up our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church and pray for injustices in global situations to be removed. Many people for many years prayed for peace in Northern Ireland, an end to apartheid, for the Berlin Wall to come down. I don't understand how it happened or why it took so long, but I believe those prayers were part of the process of healing coming to those situations. I love this quote from Brother Andrew, which has been on the wall of our house of prayer for a long time. Our prayers can go where we cannot. There are no borders, no prison walls, no doors that are closed to us when we pray. I know people who pray at particular locations in our city where they want to see God's kingdom come. I know Christians pray persistently for that sex shop to close. And many are praying for the end of this virus. And God's kingdom is advancing in this. We've seen vaccines developed at remarkable speed, and more people are surviving the illness. The enemy is being defeated, and our prayers, as well as the actions of many hardworking people, are making a difference. And prayer can be the key to breaking the enemy's strongholds over our own lives, where we're oppressed by physical or mental illness, emotional torment, where we've suffered at the hands of others. Being ambitious for the kingdom means we don't let these things define us or rule over us. We keep seeking the more of God and his freedom. I encourage you to keep on praying even when you can't see any change, because God hears every prayer and is very much active and doing so much more than we understand. And you don't have to pray on your own. Personal prayer is a vital ingredient in a healthy relationship with God. But he's also made us to be in community, so praying in with others is important too. I know it's more difficult at the moment, but you can meet one other person and walk and pray. Or we can connect online or on the telephone. And the second part of being ambitious, so firstly it was praying it, and the second part is living it. Being ambitious for the kingdom means living out your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We're part of the fulfillment of that prayer. On earth is very here and now, very solid, practical, and real. When we invite God's heavenly realm into this down-to-earth living, miracles, transformation, and beauty can happen. And Jesus didn't just talk about the kingdom, he lived it. He brought about the kingdom through his actions. As we said earlier, he did something unique that none of us can or need to repeat. But he also lived a life of extending the kingdom. He brought healing, restoration, justice, and hope. He was the most ambitious person for the kingdom that has ever lived. He stopped for the one person before him, be it a blind beggar, Mary and Martha, a Roman centurion or Nicodemus the Pharisee. He didn't judge by people's outside appearances. He healed the sick, raised the dead and cast out demons, all things which are not present in the kingdom of God. And he called us to do the same. I know I'm going to stray slightly into next week's theme, the R of royal identity, but I think it's really important that we understand who we are. Jesus knew all authority had been given to him, so he used that authority as he prayed and acted. And we have been given that authority from Jesus as well. But kingdom living is not just about the dramatic. It's about answering the question, what does your kingdom come look like in this situation before me? And it looks different for different people. For some of you, you've been placed in a position with great responsibility and you have opportunities before you to bring about influence and kingdom culture and values. I know someone who designed a training course for thousands of people in an influential organization based on kingdom values. I know a leader in a school who was able to introduce a chaplaincy service because they recognize that well-being includes our spiritual health. Maybe for some of you, your sphere of influence is online. For others, God has placed situations before you where you need to serve and serve and serve. You may not be seeing any immediate fruit from this situation, but do not underestimate what God is doing in the background. Very often, each act of service is advancing the kingdom. Even something simple like picking up litter. We know there's no litter in God's kingdom. Making a meal for a neighbor or talking to someone on the phone, reflecting a little of the love and value that our Heavenly Father gives to that person. I don't know if you remember the story that Becky shared with us a while ago about a group of YWAM students who went to work on a refugee camp and felt that they needed to clean the toilets patiently and diligently. But through that service, God opened a door for them to share their faith. For some, the situation before you looks desperate and hopeless. What does your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven look like here? Heaven's message is hope, life, purpose, joy, peace. Psalm 23 tells us that God's goodness will follow us all the days of our life. Invite God to bring these attributes of heaven into these situations. Sometimes God miraculously changes our circumstances, but more often he equips us to be more than conquerors in the midst of the circumstances. You may be placed in a situation where you need to speak out, maybe for an issue of justice or to be a voice for the voiceless. Maybe you need to be more open about your relationship with Jesus. I know one young man who goes out for walks and invites Jesus to bring people before him who are hungering after the kingdom. And then he witnesses and prays to them. John and Sally shared about Be Healthy Church and Be Healthy Central earlier. The restoration that Jesus wants for us is more than about our souls. It's about all of creation, which includes our bodies. And what does ambitious for the kingdom look like in terms of our relationship with the environment? For some, it's campaigning, but there are also everyday actions you can take in the way you travel, shop, garden, holiday. I know someone who recently got rid of their second car because they just knew deep down it did not sit comfortably anymore. And if you want to read more about this, I'd highly recommend another book. L is for Lifestyle by Ruth Valerio, Christian Living That Doesn't Cost the Earth. It goes through the whole alphabet with different ideas of ways that you can honor God in the way that you live your life in relationship to the earth. So let's go back to those first three questions. Firstly, what is the kingdom? It's where God rules and reigns. What does it look like? It looks like heaven. All that is in heaven that is good, perfect, just, where there's no evil, death, and pain. That is what the kingdom is. And what does it mean to be ambitious for the kingdom? It means longing for all of creation to be reunited with God, praying it and living it. So just a few thoughts to finish. Firstly, recognize and celebrate where God's kingdom already is advancing in and around you. Then ask God to show you where he wants you to pray and act to see more of his kingdom. And some of these questions might help. What kingdom passions burn deep down in you? How can you act on these? If you don't think you have any, invite God to show you. And remember, the kingdom is not locked down. God has ambitions for this time as well. I read an article recently on the BBC that talked about going into a new lockdown in a new year and how do we cope? And one of the things it encouraged us to do was to set goals for the year. Well, God's got goals for us for this year, and we need to seek those out. What do you spend your time and money on? Does this reflect a kingdom outlook? But please don't take that statement to mean that you should be spending all your time doing church ministry or giving all your money to the church. Remember, God's kingdom is about expanding into every aspect of the earth. Think about the places that you spend your time. What does your kingdom come look like there? What do you long to see in your households, in your community, in your workplace? And are there aspects of your life that are stopping the kingdom advance? Do you need to seek prayer, healing, restoration for these? Or take sacrificial steps to remove some of these things? When we were praying before the service a couple of weeks ago, Gwyn felt God challenge us about having a kingdom bucket list. What would be on yours? When you look back on your life, what do you want to have achieved for the kingdom of God? What do you want to have seen happen for the kingdom of God in your lifetime? I'm going to hand back to Barney now, and he's going to play us the song, Our Father. And as we do that, I just want you to ask God to begin to show you what he wants on earth as it is in heaven. What does he want that to look like in your life and in the places that you spend time and have influence?